life with the girlfriend, which is just you and me, girlfriend.
It's just me and you, right?
Yes.
Christine Marie and Julie. I'm Christine Marie.
I'm Julie.
And, you know, when I was a young therapist, I used to always have my number, my phone number listed
mm-hmm.
as whatever the area code was that we were at. And the last four numbers would be L-I-F-E.
Aww.
And at that time, I said that L-I-F-E was an acronym for Look Inside for Everything.
Yes.
So, and here we are. We're still live with the girlfriends. We're still looking inside and maybe outside for everything.
Exactly right. We're looking forward to all places. You know, that's what we're doing.
Yeah. Hey, girlfriend, it's that time of the year again, isn't it?
What time is that?
That's exactly right. What time do you think it is?
Is it for me?
Yeah.
My birthday.
It's your birthday.
It's coming up soon.
Yeah, a couple of days.
It's so funny.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Yeah, I'm not telling anybody about it because I just don't.
Right.
I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
I remember thinking somebody said, really, you didn't do anything to get born. Your mother did. So really, it's you to celebrate your mother on your birthday.
I think actually some cultures do.
I can see that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, you know, I get that, you know. And really, it's just a day. And
okay, so we're downplaying it this time, huh?
This I am
downplaying it. Downplaying it. Okay.
I'm downplaying it.
Okay. So no new underpants for you.
Well, that's right. I said I wanted two things.
Yeah, you wanted underpants.
And shoes. And you know what? If you're a girl, you get that. Because sometimes I just don't go the extra mile to go find new underwear.
Yeah.
And so now I'm like, you know what? It's time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you've been with the same person for, like, a long time, you know, you just don't give a crap anymore. I guess that's wrong a thing.
You don't care if it's... If it's Sunday and your underpants say Wednesday.
Exactly. You just don't care.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as they stay together. But as you have mentioned, because our laundry gets mixed together sometimes, which is all the time, you're going, I'm just going to start throwing your underwear away.
I do, and I secretly do.
If
I'm folding, I'm throwing.
Yeah, and this is the difference between you and I.
Right.
Because you're like, I'm like, I can get a couple more wears out of those. Not dirty, but clean. But
yeah.
Like, you know, like okay, so sometimes the waistband
gets a little
frayed. You know,
that's the whole thing, though.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when your mother said, you know, what if you got into a car accident?
Yes.
And the only thing that was left on you in the accident was your shredded underpants.
Yes. And they're not like shredded bad. It's
just one shred.
Well, or it's more
just
like
one long shred.
Yeah, exactly. They're kind of fraying. And I get that. Or sometimes, you know, I don't know. It's embarrassing. I do know, but I probably have 10-year-old underwear. I'm sure I do. And I'm like, you know, what's the big deal?
Exactly. Happy birthday to me and my 10-year-old underwear. Happy birthday.
You know, exactly. You know, mm-hmm. It's like I gotta. I may splurge and buy myself new underwear.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm gonna.
You're
do
right.
It.
You're giving me my underwear for
I'm
birthday.
Let the girl who loves you. Buy you the underpants.
Yes, Mama, I'll let you buy me the underwear, in case anybody's wondering. And so
mm-hmm.
It's so funny because I wanted two things for my birthday because
mm-hmm.
I knew I needed them. I needed new Nikes, which I did get.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so funny, it's taken me a lifetime to get the right pair of Nikes
mm-hmm.
and the right size.
Mm-hmm.
I used to do Asics, you know, until something happened, my feet were like,
mm-hmm.
I don't feel the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know what the biggest thing I did with my Nikes, you know what I did that changed my life?
What?
I went to men's sizes.
Yeah, I was wondering if you were going to share that with the world.
And my feet look real pretty in them, too, like little.
Uh-huh.
They do. I don't know why.
Okay.
But I found these really beautiful black Nikes
mm-hmm.
that I love. They're
mm-hmm.
men's sizes.
Mm-hmm.
And they fit my foot better. They
yeah.
just fit... What do you call it? You call it the... You said every shoe maker has their own special...
Last.
Yeah.
L-A-S-T.
Last. Mm-hmm. And Nike men are mm-hmm. more for my foot.
That's your
my last.
Last.
Yes.
At last.
I found the right
My
shoe.
Love has come along. And it's a Nike tennis shoe.
Yes. And then my other shoes I got that I feel pretty good in, because it's not a tennis shoe, is my Born shoes, my box.
I know, and you schooled me the other day.
I did.
You schooled me back, girlfriend.
Yeah.
I've been always calling him Bjorns.
Bjorns.
I was like, Julie, you got your baby Bjorns on?
I got it. No.
And you're like, okay, Mom, this is the last time I'm letting you say that. It's not Bjorn.
Exactly.
It's Bjorn.
Exactly.
But I still choose to think of it in my head, you know, even though you're forcing me to say Born. I'm in my head going, Bjorn, 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 Bjorn.
Yeah.
Baby Bjorn, baby Bjorn. Bjorn.
I like, it's not the woman that sings with the, that comes the big swan, not her either.
Yeah, yeah.
Not that woman either.
Yeah, no, not her.
But,
not her.
You know, it's so funny because there's only really one thing I kind of wanted to do for my birthday, and it may not happen. And that is, I really want to go to Chicago for my birthday, just
mm-hmm.
to drive down there.
Right.
And we've tried for like the last 6 months to go down there.
And we actually had a day planned.
Yeah.
And then we heard that there was going to be rioting in the streets because of something that happened a year ago.
Yes. Pretty horrible, tragic police shooting. And
mm-hmm.
the video came out a year later, and we saw it, and we're like, it looks like
it's pretty bad.
It's pretty excessive.
Yeah.
And you just go, oh, my God, I don't understand. I mean, I understand.
I know. We really are out of, you know, I'm out of touch, you know, and I admit it, because I guess where we live, we're pretty insulated.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't
feel
mean
that
to be.
Way. Well, we know all the police officers, and
yeah.
everybody seems kind and nice, and
mm-hmm.
and I mean, I don't think we have a lot of shootings going on.
No,
but when I see these police shootings, and then you know, when people are trying to shoot the police, I mean, it just feels like. Where are we living?
Yeah.
Where are we living?
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it. And it doesn't feel real
mm-hmm.
because, and I remember listening to this one, I mean, the video, I don't want to comment too much about
no,
it because it's
no.
so horrific.
Right.
I can't even go there.
Yeah, that's, and it's not really who we are.
No, and, but I remember this one video I was listening to, a 911 call or some kind of over the phone, but it was this police officer had killed somebody, you know, at a traffic accident or a
mm-hmm.
traffic stop, and
mm-hmm.
supposedly the person in the traffic, you know, in the car came at him with a gun, and he killed him. And what we hear in the background is, I guess it's being recorded from his car. And I really think we should have cameras everywhere on these police cars
mm-hmm.
for the sake of good police officers as well. You
mm-hmm.
know, let's see the whole story, get him, you know, that's what technology is all about.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just sobbing. Like, I don't know why, I don't know, you know, like, I can't believe I killed him, you know, I did this, you know,
mm-hmm.
I thought he had a gun, and maybe he did have a gun, but he is literally just sobbing
mm-hmm.
at the fact that, and
mm-hmm.
and so I know that 99% of people don't want to kill someone.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And so even though that video, that was horrific, it just looks like, I don't even want to say it. It's like just like there seems like there's no reason for it,
mm-mm.
none whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
So
that was the day that we had planned to go to
yes.
Chicago.
And then we said, nah.
We said, better not. You know,
yeah.
here we come in our little white recreational vehicle van or
yeah.
a conversion van.
I'm sure we get pulled over going, what do you got in that van?
Yeah, really. What what is that thing?
Exactly.
You don't see those in the city.
Exactly. We really are the old conversion van in Chicago.
Yeah, I remember one time we went to the suburbs. And we were in this huge mall parking lot. I mean, it's a big mall,
yeah.
outside mall. And I was I felt a little weird because I looked around. There was, like, no other conversion vans.
Yeah.
Everybody had a car or a truck. And I'm like, oh, do I feel like, you know.
Well, it's so funny because in Dixon,
mm-hmm.
and
everybody has one.
there are several conversion
yeah,
vans.
Exactly.
And it's just so weird. It's so funny.
Mm-hmm.
It
does feel a little, like, don't look at me. I have a conversion van. So what?
Exactly. So what? I like dogs, you know?
Yeah.
I like animals. Give me a break.
Yeah. And we had like five of them.
Yeah.
I want to say one thing, too, though, about the Chicago is that this movie came out this weekend. It's called Chi-Rac.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
it's about, you know, that Spike Lee did it. And it was interesting because you and I were together. No, really?
Yeah. Really?
And we were listening to WGN, the big powerhouse
right.
AM station in Chicago, and Wendy and Bill were interviewing D.B. Sweeney, who plays the mayor of Chicago in this movie, Chi-Rac. And it was so, I just loved this because I love D.B. Sweeney. I've loved him from the, like, the first time I remember seeing him
right.
was in the late 70s in that Fire in the Sky movie where he gets
Mom.
What? No, am I wrong?
You're wrong on a date on that.
Oh, am I really?
I'm going to go.
What?
You think it's late 70s that movie came out?
Yes.
Okay. Take another guess.
Go to IDBM.
I'm right there. I am right there.
Okay.
Take another guess.
Ugh. Okay.
I'm psychically giving it to you.
Okay. I would say 85 then.
Okay. Take another guess.
It has to be in the 80s if it's not in the 70s.
1993.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I know, when you said late 70s, I'm like, wait a minute.
Really?
Really?
Oh, my God.
I don't think so.
Yeah, well, I loved him. Was that his first movie then? Because he did that kind of an ice skating movie, too,
yeah.
Didn't he?
Yeah. No, that's not his, that wasn't his first movie.
Mm-mm.
Okay, well, here we are at...
Are you at
IMDb.
IMDb.
Yeah. Yeah. Hold on a second. I mean, I know he's in that one, you know, he was in that one movie about the ice skating, which was a great movie. That was one of my favorite
ice
movies.
Ice Castles or... No, that was Robbie Benson or something. Wasn't
yeah.
It?
We'll go to his full bio. Oh, there it is. Okay, so anyway, yeah, and... like, this is so important. So he's in Fire in the Sky, Strange, like Jericho. He was in Jericho, that TV series I love.
Yeah.
The Event, loved that.
Yeah. So he's kind of doing a lot of that.
Yeah. Eight Men Out, Cutting Edge, that was it. Cutting Edge.
Yeah.
So, no, he has been in a lot of stuff, and I just love him. I think he's so...
I did, too, and I enjoyed... So I was going back to it, I enjoyed this interview with Bill and Wendy that he
yes.
did. Sounds like a real... down-to-earth, you know, intelligent guy, made the decision, quality decision with his wife to move from L.A. into the Midwest, into Chicago, and lives in Chicago. He's got a son and daughter there in their teens, and they play hockey and stuff like that. And but he said, you know, I want to sort of reinvigorate movie making here in Chicago and the stage.
Right.
He said there really isn't anything better. There's a lot of great actors. He said, but and I remember, don't you remember when Greg was, this was years ago, but he was doing a lot of extra work and
yeah.
different stuff and Chicago had this line you could actually just call and I talked to the guy several times and say, hey, is there any new auditions coming
yeah.
out? And all of that is gone now.
I know. It's crazy. Maybe it's getting better, though. We haven't searched
it
out lately.
I think it is going to get better because I think of just personally D.B. Sweeney.
Yes.
There. And like he said,
okay.
he said, like, we were making Chirac, and he said, you know, we hired 200 people.
Right.
You know, that weren't going to be, you know, making any money that day.
Right. You know, you mentioned that... that Chirac is based on an opera.
Chirac, you know, CHI for Chicago, and I guess IRAQ for Iraq. And yeah, it's based on. This is what I heard. Okay, you know,
yes.
you can make fun of me because of being thinking it's the late 70s, but it was supposed to be based on this stage opera, like La Strada.
Okay,
La Strada, an Italian opera. And the premise of that opera was that, you know, all the women get together and decide, and you know, to withhold sex from all the men in the village until things change around there.
Got it.
You know, and so I think Spike Lee is taking that, and you know, all the women in Chicago decide, especially on the South Side, decide to withhold sex.
Now, and I'm looking at La Strada, the little preview of it, or the the review or the description of it, it doesn't mention that in their description.
No.
About.
Oh, is this just part of my imagination?
Well, I'm curious.
Because I love the idea.
I think it's awesome.
I mean, can you just imagine, like, you know, like a whole city of women withholding sex from, you know, anybody.
Yeah. What
until
does Lestrada
things
mean?
Change.
Do you know what Lestrada means?
Mm-mm.
Me neither. I was just curious. It's a lot of restaurants named Lestrada.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
I always thought, like, in the Pink Panther, the inspector. Oh, no, that's like Lestrade or something.
It may be. But, you know, I know why you mean about how well, this is an awesome idea.
It is an awesome
because,
idea.
Because, first of all the women would have to be together on it all.
They have
like,
to.
You couldn't have a couple of them going,
No.
Well, you know, yeah. I could use it too.
Some girls go like, you know, I think now's a good time to start charging.
Yeah.
When there's like...
the demand's high.
Supply and demand.
Exactly.
Some of them see it as like a business opportunity.
Right.
And a business model.
Exactly.
Like our new business model.
Exactly. That would be our new business model. Exactly. But I get that because, like, all the women are like, no, we're not going to have sex with the men because they need to just come to the plate more or whatever.
No,
we're all
deciding. I think it's like they're, you know, something about, like, so there's no more shootings in Chicago.
Right. Oh, yeah.
I could just be totally making this up. And I'm sure somebody will tell me. And D.B. Sweeney, you can call me. I'd be willing to talk to you.
Yes.
And I got a son that you can put to work.
Okay, I've got it here. Yes, I mean, they're saying that, okay, so in the movie it just talks about after the murder of a child by a stray bullet, a group of women led by Lysistrata, that's the name, I guess it's after Lestrada. That's kind of like they're playing, mm-hmm. we're playing on it.
Okay.
Organized against the ongoing violence of Chicago's South Side, creating a movement that challenges the nature of race, sex, and violence in America and around the world.
So, violence or volunteering in America? What? That's what you say?
Violence. I spoke too fast.
Okay.
Chicago's South Side, creating a movement that challenges the nature of race, sex, and violence in America and around the world.
Hmm.
So the truth is, they could have easily put that in there.
What have people got against violins? I don't understand. Sorry. It's just doing a little Gilda Radner there.
Is that, I don't know. Oh, you just brought Gilda Radner. That's so sweet.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Joe.
I say it's sweet because I saw the funniest, brought me back to Saturday Night Live, because Gilda Radner was in Saturday Night Live back in the 70s.
Whoa.
But I saw the funniest...
Full circle.
Yeah, exactly. I saw the funniest Saturday Night Live skit that I've seen in a long time. So I'm trying to think of the musical guest I never heard of before, but I might get his album because it was really a cool album, mm-hmm. what he was singing. And then I cannot think of the person right now who it was in Saturday Night Live last night.
Quick, look it up.
No, yeah, I'm going to. Mm-hmm. But anyway.
Boy or girl?
It was a girl. Oh, my God, it was a boy.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, what was funny about it was that, okay, I can't think of it. I just lost it. Never mind. I feel so bad.
You lost the thought?
I lost the thought.
Oh.
Because you were talking about Chirac, and
yes.
I can't think about now.
You said I saw the funniest SNL.
Oh, okay. Yes. Okay, so here what it was. It was a premise. It was... And you go to YouTube and see it as well. You have a government agency has these three people in a room, and they're the first. They call, you are the first real people who've been abducted by aliens. We want to hear what you've talked about, you know, what's gone down and all that stuff. And so what has happened, so what two of them talked about was, Ryan Gosling, that's who it was. That was on. So Ryan Gosling, Ryan Gosling's going, oh my gosh, I got picked up by these aliens, and it was like a love fest, and they were just like light everywhere, and I felt no fear and warmth everywhere, and I just felt my brain was just like in awe of what was going on.
Mm.
And then the woman next to him was like, oh yes, exactly, and just like these amazing, amazing experiences. And then the third person, So Cecily Strong was in this scene, and she was she was one of the good things happened to her, you know. And but Kate McKinnon, she's the blonde that played
right.
Bieber.
Right.
She's so wonderful. Anyway, can I just say something really quick?
Okay.
I'm freaking out at this moment.
Okay.
Because I do have the internet on, and I just quickly go to the, Saturday Night Live cast or whatever.
Yeah. Okay.
And, it has Cecily Strong as the first one, Vanessa Bayer, Lauren Michaels, and Kate McKinnon, Kean Thompson, and then Gilda Radner.
No.
Yes.
No.
And then Heidi Bryan.
No.
I know. I mean, so why did they throw Gilda Radner in the mix of all the recent cast members?
What is that about?
They're hearing me. That's what it's about.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
I know. And, because I saw her this week sometime, which I hadn't seen in a long time or I'd never seen, I really do believe that artificial intelligence is possible. And they're freaking me out right now.
And it's here.
And it's here. And what they can do is just kind of...
already here.
They can just kind of tell what I'm talking about and put it on the internet.
Yes.
Woo. Okay, use your power for good, people, not to freak me out. And so anyway, Kate McKinnon, she's the girl that, when she got abducted, it was a whole different experience. It was, like, horrible.
Mm-hmm. Getting probed.
And, like, they would watch her go to the bathroom, and she was saying stuff like, and it was just so funny, like, I didn't think this stuff was sanctioned,
Oh, wow.
And, like, they were playing with her boobies. It was just...
No.
Oh, it was so funny. And everybody couldn't keep a straight face. And I was losing my mind because mm-hmm. this was hysterical.
I've got to see this.
Yeah. It was a great... I should show it to you tonight.
Yeah.
And then another episode was, I thought was funny as well, Vanessa Bayer. She's got the red hair. She's real cute. And then... Gosling,
mm-hmm.
we're going to this party in New York, New York, and the little kid comes in and tells the parents, not Gosling, but the parents who the house is, like, oh, I want to go to bed now because Santa's coming. He goes, yeah, Santa Claus might be here. And Santa Claus might be here right now. And, Gosling just freaks out, like, what? He's here now? Oh, my God, this is so awesome. And they are totally just flipping out, like, oh, my God, Santa Claus is here. But in this Pulp Fiction first scene kind of way where the couple are in the restaurant and, like, having this, this romanticized event.
Yes, yes.
And so they basically destroy the party, but it's all about them and Santa Claus. And it was hysterical. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they just get it right. They just sometimes
they do, right?
They get it right, yes.
Yeah.
Well, they've got such powerhouse women right now, and it's so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, I have a hard time figuring out why Gilda Radner is in my list of Saturday Night Live cast as the most current cast member.
I know.
It's freaking me out.
And for whatever reason, too, like you're talking about that they did it like an alien sketch, right?
Yes.
And I was... like I said, like D.V. Sweeney did that.
I know.
Fire in the Sky.
Exactly.
That was like an alien movie. And as we talked about last week, you know that I am totally in love with Fargo, right?
Right.
And in the first season, they had this thread that was, they just talked about it. They never did anything, and it was about Sioux Falls, the massacre at Sioux Falls. And nobody ever says anything about it. But then season two,
mm-hmm.
that thread becomes the main focus. You go back in time to the massacre at Sioux Falls, and that's where we're at now. And there's a thread in this season, which is about aliens and UFOs.
And you wonder.
And I'm thinking that next season will probably, if they stay true to this, will be about some kind of UFO encounter, because they are certainly alluding to that.
Yes,
in this
I hope
season.
I can't imagine. I am enjoying Fargo beyond any imagination I had.
We're in episode 8.
Yes,
and I saw it this weekend. You did too. You saw it this morning or something?
Yeah,
didn't
this morning.
And you asked me how I liked it, and what did I say? It was disturbing. I said
yes, and that's a good way.
Disturbing.
Yeah. I didn't find it disturbing as you found it.
Mm-hmm.
I found it poignant in a lot of ways. I just
mm-hmm.
found that the more evil character had a moment of humanity to him.
Yeah.
And I thought, just for a brief moment, I felt a little...
Yeah, me too. But
yeah.
But I think overall, it's just, I don't know, it's disturbing because you can actually see these people doing this, you know, actually doing this.
Well, and also, too, the one couple who, I'm not going to talk about it because people might not have seen it yet, but I can highly recommend it. You know, really binge on it. Go to FX and just binge on it.
Mm-hmm.
Kirsten Dunst. And
she's doing a good job.
She's doing a great job. Her husband was a character, a mean character, a bad character on, I can't think of it, the one about Bryan Cranston.
He was on that?
No. Yeah, what is it called? Wait, Talking Bad,
like
no.
Baking Bad.
Breaking Bad,
right?
That's it. Did you say Baking Bad?
Yeah.
Baking?
Yeah, you know, Baking the Mess?
No, it's Breaking.
Yeah, I know. Dang, girl. Dang, girl, you have no sense of humor.
No, but it was funny because I kept thinking,
I'm bad. I'm bad. I'm going down. We're baking bad tonight, girlfriend. It's like you know, like you said that you got that walk, that bacon bad walk.
Yes. Okay, so people will have no idea what we're talking about.
Move on.
Well, can I say it or no?
Yeah, go ahead.
So I have just been. People know I have been struggling with my knees. I'm working them out, and I'm trying to get them stronger. And they just hurt sometimes. And sometimes when I'm in a car for a long time or sitting for a long time, boy, those first 30, 50, 60, 100 steps are horrible.
Yeah, and Julia looks like you look like you're in pain those first steps.
Yeah, and then I just love it when Doug goes, "Are you in pain?" I'm like, "Yeah,
no, really?
Really?"
But now my darling daughter,
I figured it out.
She has figured it out, and she has figured, and it looks good.
Looks good on me.
It looks good.
Well, you know,
first of all, she puts a song in her head.
I put a song in my head.
And it's kind of like, you know, you can't touch me, can't touch this.
Yeah.
If you wanted it, you should have put a ring on it. And she gets really down in her head.
Yeah.
We don't hear the music.
No.
But the music's in her head.
Right, and in my heart.
Yes.
And then I start strutting.
But you got to look on your face too.
Yeah,
which is like,
yeah. I'm dancing in my heart.
That's
you
right.
know, dancing
then,
in
then,
my head.
And then you start strutting. And so, the strutting is so big, that you don't notice the knee stuff.
You don't notice that. Boy, she's walking on.
You're like, what a strut!
What a strut she's got going on.
What song does she have in her head?
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm sure it's not. If you liked it, you should have put a ring on it.
That would be hysterical. Yeah, I have such confidence. Oh, wait a minute. Now I've got something I need to tell you about Saturday Night Live, which I felt, because now that you're talking about me strutting and being so pathetic looking, I have to tell you this, because, and the ring on your finger. So one of the better scenes in Saturday Night Live was this commercial for, you know how they do the commercials, you know,
yeah.
for this one app called Settl, S-E-T-T-L, Settl.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
And it was hysterical because what it was for women who really need to get married now. They bought the date, they bought the dress already, or their sister's getting married in a month, and like, we need to get married now.
Yeah.
And you're willing to settle a little bit.
I love it.
And it was this one guy comes in, and he sits down, and he goes, you know, he goes, yeah, he has a smart car, and he has
a smart car?
Yeah, and he works as a manager of
a
Petco.
A 4-2.
Yeah, a manager of Petco, and he has a 401k.
No.
You know? And I'm like, hey, that's not really settling, dude.
Yeah.
I'm kind of digging that guy's portfolio. I like
him. It's a lot like Grindr.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And like in Settle, you can't, you know how on Tinder,
yeah,
you can push to the right or to the left, depending
yes.
on, and you can only push one way, which is accept. You can only accept everyone. You're like, okay. And like this one time, scene was the guy comes in, they're having dinner, and he's like, oh, it's 9 o'clock. I'm never up this late. And they're not like they're back. They're normal guys.
No, they're normal guys. Yeah,
you know, they're just not.
You know what? For whatever reason, you're making me think about this story that you told me several weeks ago. Like, you stopped at a rest area in your 18-wheeler, right?
Yeah.
And the maintenance guy or the supervisor of the rest area, you know him because, girlfriend, you're a regular.
Yes.
And he decides to tell you the story about a glory hole.
Yeah, I found that very odd, but I was going for it. I was just like, I'm here. I'm handling it. And he's like, Julie, I got to tell you something. I'm like, okay, you got to tell me. He goes, I'm just so tired right now. I'm so angry. I'm like, what's going on?
Sit down. I can hear you say that. Just sit
what's
down
going
and tell
on?
Me about it.
He goes, I just got done cleaning the men's bathroom out. I'm like, okay.
Okay.
And there was a hole. Some guy had drilled, you know, had broken through the concrete and made a hole between the walls.
And he looks at you like,
I'm like,
a hole,
and
Julie.
I go, well, why do you do that? That seems silly.
Yeah.
And he goes, Julie,
really?
You don't know why?
Yeah.
I go, really? I have no idea. That seems crazy.
Oh.
And he goes, it's like right here at this area. And I'm like, and he's like, putting
it right there. It is.
Well, like he's making, like he's doing like a back bend, like this, yeah, right in this area.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, I get it now. I get it. And I said to him, I go, I always thought those were myths. I really did.
What'd you say?
I told him, I go, I didn't think those really existed. I thought those were just myths. Well, because I've asked Greg and I've asked Dad and other men in my life, because I'm just like, really?
Do they have them in men's bathrooms?
And they have all sworn to me.
That there's not.
They have never seen a glory hole.
Really?
They have all sworn to me that they've never seen glory hole.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, all right, okay. Mm-hmm. So the fact that, you know, and he said that this has happened twice to him, so he's left a note
and
for this guy.
Oh, no, same guy did it?
Glory well, they don't know. The same.
What state is this in?
Michigan.
It's in Michigan?
Michigan,
okay.
Yes. And so, you know, the rest area attendant man, he was like, he's just upset. Mm-hmm. He's like, I'm tired going in there and seeing this whole ball.
I got to clean out both sides.
Yeah, I'm like, there's concrete down the floor. I can't take it anymore. So I called the cops.
Oh, and no, then I called the cops.
And then
someone call a doctor because this is sick.
Yeah. Oh, you're
the cops.
You're on fire, girlfriend, tonight. You know that?
Oh, I am?
Yeah, you are.
Oh, my
you're
God.
So funny tonight.
Thank you.
Oh, and by the way, everybody, go buy our book.
Yeah, I'll be here
effect.
All week.
Yeah,
and then go buy our book. Yeah,
yeah. The Clutterfly Effect. Tweak your way into total transformation. You know what I love about this show that we do? Because we really just want to have a good time tonight.
We just like to. We go. Let's just have some fun.
Have some fun.
Let's just build some. What's those good things in your brain?
Neural pathways.
Yeah, or something else. Endorphins.
Oh, yeah, we're getting all those good things. All
let's just
stuff.
Release a whole bunch of endorphins.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. And so, and in regards to, so anyway, he's telling me this story about the glory hole, and I'm like, I don't believe it. That I think it's a myth.
Did
he goes,
you
no.
tell him that you didn't believe it?
Yeah, and then he goes, no, it's true. And I'm like, oh, that's crazy. And he goes, I wrote him a note saying, hey, dude, you ever come back in here again with your ideas? Get out.
All right, I'm going to grab it. And twist it like on the soup, you know.
Exactly.
Remember on the soup, there's Japanese wrestlers.
Yes.
And it's okay in their country to, like a, you know, like we might have a chokehold.
Yes.
They actually have a, like a
penis hold.
Yes, actually, that's what it is. Not even like ball hold.
No. Okay.
It's the actual.
Okay, so what we see, and let's just go back to the soup real quick. It's
yes.
ending, and I can't believe it. It's been a staple of my life for years. I've seen it off and on, of course, of a decade or two,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to miss
17
it.
17 years it's been on.
Yeah, and he's been a host for like 11
yeah.
of those years.
Yeah, it actually is. I think it's a perfect show for a Friday
I do
night.
Too. Maybe you'll find a home someplace else.
I hope so. Netflix.
Yeah,
Netflix.
How about HBO, because we have that.
Sure. We get,
yeah,
we get
love
HBO,
that.
So let's do that.
So I think it would be hysterical. So here's the scene. You know, we see these two wrestlers, and I guess they are Japanese wrestlers. But
mm-hmm.
They're professional wrestlers. They're
yes, professional.
Yeah, they look great, you know. And one guy's on the ground, but he has the other wrestler's basically junk in his hand.
Yeah,
in his palm.
No, I think it's just like the shaft.
Okay,
right?
Sure, whatever. I wasn't looking that closely.
Okay.
That's your job. Anyway, so, and then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, that must hurt. And all of a sudden, the tide changes in the fight. And
yes.
the
guy that's standing up
that
with
had
his thing getting held,
yep.
he turns on like some kind of afterburner.
Yep.
And his, you know what, You say the word.
Penis.
Yes. Flips the guy around in a grip.
Yes, a peni grip. A peni grip, we're calling it. And it was like, whoa, that's amazing. I love that script. That's,
yeah.
That's amazing. And a little scary.
And that's and then the soup guy said that could only happen. The Japanese have that
right.
Perfected.
And then he goes, no, no. And then he had...
Patrick Warburton.
Yes. And then who's the other guy?
I don't know that other guy. Was he in all those movies?
Yes, Hangover?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, so the Hangover guy, the little guy, he's holding on to Patrick's...
Warburton's peni.
Yes. And then he's like, I can't do it. I can't, you know, and then he flips over. Like, yep. And
The best
part was, then who was supposed to do it then?
Joel McHale
was supposed to do it.
Was supposed to do Patrick Warburton, you know.
Yeah, grab his crotch. Grab his crotch.
Yes.
And he wouldn't do it.
He goes real close, and he does
backs
it.
Away. And then Patrick called him an ussy.
Yes. Under his breath.
He goes, yeah.
He goes, you...
Yeah, I'm not going to say that word. But anyway, so that was hysterical.
It was good.
Yes, it was very good.
Made me laugh.
Yeah, it did. And I'm going to miss them.
I know.
I don't even know why. I can't imagine. I mean, it can't cost much to make that show.
No. I mean, because all the stuff is done for you, you know?
No, so then what I'm thinking is they're going to get another half hour of Kardashian on.
Yeah, oh, great.
And that's one more thing I need to avoid.
Yeah, it wasn't as funny, I should say, but the Khloe, the youngest, with all the hair and everything, she was complaining because she had so much work to do. You know, like, and all she does is, like, you know, get all her hair and makeup done and go out in 10 minutes and, you know,
I'm not saying they don't work hard for what they think working is. They just don't know what really real work is.
They don't know what real work is.
They don't know what really working is getting paid $10 an hour.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the oldest one supposedly made $2 million. The oldest of the Jenner girls made $2 million just modeling. I'm sure that doesn't mean anything more than just that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the youngest one, Kylie, she's in a little controversy right now. Why I know this is because it was on The Soup.
It was what?
It was on The Soup, I think.
Oh, was it?
Or was it on Adam Carolla?
Oh, is that the one where... She was in a wheelchair?
Yes. Did you see the picture?
Yes. Yes, I did.
Okay. God, why do we know this?
Yeah, why do we know
this? I don't know.
And why are we talking about it?
Because I'm going to shame her.
Okay, then. All right.
I don't want to.
No,
she's
no,
a young
ahead.
Girl.
Yeah.
But, you know, she's got everything going for her.
Yeah.
So.
Why do you need your picture taken in a wheelchair?
Okay, and so I have two takes on this. So the first take was, she says, she's taken a picture of her looking very doll-like, lifeless, like a sex doll in a wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
And she says it was supposed to represent how she feels handicapped by being famous.
Oh,
and then I heard
she did.
She did. And then as I'm hearing this, my middle finger is going up
to
the world. Like,
yeah, I'm going to have two of them out.
Yeah. Exactly. How dare you?
I'm handicapped by being famous. Do you know, I would give for just a thimbleful of that fame.
And money for it. Just a nice little amount. It'd be fun.
Yeah. But I mean, to do what you love to do.
Yes.
And get paid for it.
Would be awesome. And I'm assuming they love this. I'm assuming that because they're allowing it to happen day in and day out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think it's brilliant on their part. And no one has really been able to... come close to them.
No.
I can't think of any other.
No, I mean, you got to say that Kris Jenner is a genius.
Yeah, she's a genius, and she had enough kids to make it all interesting.
Yeah,
and then the whole Jenner thing.
Wow.
You know, with Caitlyn and it's like craziness,
crazy town.
Yeah,
crazy town.
So very interesting, and I don't know why I brought it up, but I just thought that was interesting. Oh, I would have shamed her. I'm like, girl. You're 18, you know, you've had just enough work done to make you look, I don't even know, just wildly different and good with makeup, you know, like her face now, just, I'm like, you've had work done, I know you have, but no one admits to it. It's like just a tweaking here of everything, it seems like, but oh well.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, one of the things I want to talk about tonight.
Yes.
As we're almost on the show,
please,
we've just been
let's
talking.
Talk about something legit. Legit.
Legit. Legit. Yes.
So we can have like a takeaway.
Sure. Well, okay. I definitely want to have it. Two things I want to talk about. I want to talk about bucket lists, and I want to talk about how your feelings really judge your decision-making process, or they really influence your decision-making process.
Yeah, that's for sure.
So, hello, everyone. Welcome to the Coaching Corner, the last 15 minutes of the show.
Let's hurry up and get something stuff in here. Right?
Exactly, exactly. And I wouldn't mind ending with this new... One quick thing, though, about the Kylie Jenner thing.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Adam Carolla had a very interesting take on this.
Mm-hmm.
He says, we have to stop having gay men be photographers.
Because
no straight guy would want that.
I love that.
Exactly. He goes, it's too artistic, bull, BS. All we want to see is a lot of cleavage.
Oh my gosh.
But this is not, you know,
yeah.
A straight guy would go, oh, this is, I just want cleavage.
Get her out of the wheelchair.
Yeah.
Push the bra up a little bit.
Yeah. That's what I want. Now just have her hang over, have her hang out of the wheelchair with everything showing, you know? So I thought that was
Adam
hysterical.
Adam Carolla, I love you.
Yeah.
What else did he say? He said something else good this week that you told me about. You remember?
Well, I remember him saying, I don't know if it was this week or last week, or in the past, talking about how he doesn't want his kids to feel lucky ever.
Oh, that's right. You were telling me that.
And which is very interesting. He goes, he wants his kids to feel like it's always about work.
We were talking about
and
that,
hard work.
That lucky ball syndrome.
Yes.
We were saying that there was a certain amount of people got told that their golf balls were lucky.
Yes.
And
a putting contest with novices.
And they actually, those people did like 35% or 37% better
than the unlucky ball.
Yes, the unlucky balls.
Yes. And so it's interesting to think about this, because the idea that how you think, how you feel about the world, about a situation, dictates the quality of decisions that you make.
Yes.
And so if you feel even slightly lucky, like I can do the hard work and I'm going to have the God on my side, or a little luck on my side, or however you want to say it, you may make better decisions.
Yes.
But if you think, I'm going to work this hard and it still may not happen and luck's not on my side, then you're going to make different decisions.
Yeah, and I always think, too, that I think that there's an element of decision making where people think I'm lucky, but I'm also a gambler. Like,
right.
You know, there's that gambling, I don't know, perspective to
right.
it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, where you just go, hey, you know, I may be lucky, so I'm gonna roll the dice.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I see that a lot on game shows.
Well, you know what? Yes. And maybe because we're not that good at statistics, you know, or math, and we weigh percentages way too much, probabilities way too much.
We're not like actuarials, but we always know this. I mean, we always know like the house always wins,
right?
Ultimately.
Well, ultimately it does. You're it wouldn't be in business if it wasn't, right?
Exactly. If it didn't.
If it didn't do that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But, so Einstein said, you have a choice either to believe that everything's a miracle or that nothing's a miracle.
Right.
And so by believing, I guess he's believing that everything's a miracle, you make different choices.
Mm-hmm.
Deepak Chopra, I have mentioned this before, you know, with every obstacle that you have out there, you have to solve it at a higher level.
You have. Everything has to be solved at a higher level.
And by doing so, gets you to evolve.
Right.
And so in some ways, if you're wanting to have transcendence in some sense, you know, expect obstacles coming through at a higher rate because you're meant to solve them at a higher level.
And expect obstacles.
And expect it.
Because there's some part of us that just goes, I mustn't be meant to do this.
Exactly.
It's like too hard.
Now, this is a very, very powerful point that I'm thinking of right now, because I thought that before, but then it left my brain. Mm-hmm. Now it's back in. If your belief was that every obstacle that came your way was set purposely there for your growth, to get higher and to transcend, then it wasn't a sign of you shouldn't be doing this.
Right.
Because I have felt that way. There
you
have been
do.
Times I'm like, this must be God's way of saying don't do this anymore,
right.
because you just can't possibly have one more thing go wrong.
Or like Normano said the other day, this has got to be the devil.
Yeah, this has got to be. I can't take this anymore. And yet, we've said we want growth. We've said we want expansion. And boom, something happens that is requiring us, that's really testing us.
Mm-hmm.
Not a normal obstacle that you're like, I've done this before, I can get to this before.
Right. Like traffic or something. You know.
A new obstacle like, oh, okay, well, this is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
How do I solve this problem?
Mm-hmm.
No, okay, this is bad. This is interesting. How do I solve this problem?
Hmm.
And so if you can believe that's there,
uh-huh.
that you even brought to you for growth in any area of your life, whether even, I mean, like, I'll say for my body, like with my knees, you know, I know that I'm having to deal with these knees at a different, higher level.
Right.
And the day I just said, okay, what am I supposed to do? You know, I went on YouTube and I got all these exercises to strengthen my knees.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm like, I'm going to claim it. I'm going to work towards it. You know, here is my obstacle, and I can rise above this.
Right.
Figure it out at a higher level and not give up. Because giving up sometimes sounds great for a split second, but it doesn't sound great 5 years down the line.
Mm-hmm.
Because giving up means, you know, I don't even know what it means.
Well, I know what you mean, because we were talking about, like, you were mentioning, like, that the story of the McDonald's guy.
Yes.
That he had failed at business after business after business after business, and then he struck gold, I guess.
Yes.
You know, the golden arches. But if he had failed and failed and failed and then just quit,
yes.
I'm going to go to, you know, Arkansas and live in an outhouse or a tiny house.
Then that was it. That would be it.
Yeah. And there would not be any golden arches today. Or somebody else might have found those golden arches. And
what would you say?
They could have called them O'Briens.
Yeah, exactly. Could have called them O'Briens.
Or D'Antoni's.
Exactly. That would have been hysterical.
Peter's golden arches.
Exactly. That would have been hysterical. I would have loved that. That would have been awesome. And you wonder, then you have a thought pop in like, well, how many people die with it never turning out? They just keep failing at it, at the bigger dream, at the bigger life.
Yeah.
You know?
Or how many people die with their dreams still in them?
Right. And then is it, I don't know. It's so we say,
what
now,
do we say?
I say it's the takeaway is this. Today, decide that we don't call the failure failure.
Right.
We decide that it all works for us and that it is there only to get to the next level.
Yes.
Only to break through the ceiling.
And even if we don't know that, perhaps built into us, Julie, is this evolutionary thrust that even if we're not consciously aware, that thrust is like to keep taking our gene pool into greater evolutionary realms.
Right.
You know?
Hendrix and...
Gail?
Gay Hendrix.
Gay Hendrix.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
The Big Leap.
Yes.
In that book, he really talks about this idea that we all have this feeling that we put on ourselves.
Yes.
Or that saboteur that stops us before we break it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so forth.
It's a ceiling, it's a saboteur, but it is something like real.
Yes.
That happens to a lot of people.
Yes. And they talked about in the book, I mean, it's a good book. They talked about, they brought up President Clinton and how when he was being impeached, he said, well, what does it mean? Or what is, you know, some kind of lingo he talked about it while he was being, you know,
question.
You know, I'm talking about the situation where he goes, well, what does it
mean? What do you consider sex or something like
that?
I don't know
what it was. But anyway, it was it was really a planned word. Mm-hmm. And think about that, when we knew that he had done it, and that also that he had sabotaged himself. He had a limit that he couldn't break through.
Mm-hmm.
And he then sabotaged himself by his thinking, by his action.
Yeah.
Because it does mean when you're wanting to break through the next level,
mm-hmm.
there is a lot
of stuff comes in.
A lot of risk comes in.
Yeah.
And you are really meant to believe in yourself. And we had a website called I feel like I won the lottery.
Oh yeah, I feel like I won the lottery.
This whole concept that if you want to win the lottery, you must feel like you already won the lottery, right?
Yeah, feel like it first.
Yeah, the law of attraction, and it was so fun during that time. I loved it.
Oh my gosh.
I hadn't won the lottery though, but I mean, I won some little stuff, but nothing big.
And there, people would just call us and say, I want to win the lottery. How do I get me in alignment? And like, I feel like I won the lottery. I feel like
that was some good days.
Those were the good old days. Ah, the good old days.
When it was so simple then.
You know, sometimes you're just between the moon and New York City.
Exactly. Moon in New York City.
I know.
Yes. So I say during this time, you know, let's choose to feel better about our blueprint for life, our major idea for life.
I mean, if you have a few minutes, just give us that, you know, paragraph on the blueprint, because we all have one, whether we think we do or we don't. We are operating. It could be our parents.
Right.
It could be.
Well, our blueprint in a roundabout way is really our beliefs, our concepts, the way we define the world around us.
Right.
And sometimes people might say stuff like, it's a race to
like
the finish.
My mom's blueprint was this. She would always say, if it wasn't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all.
Right.
That was her blueprint.
Or, you only hurt the ones you love.
That was another one. That was my dad's.
Yeah.
And, did he love to hurt us?
No, what's funny is that with those two together, wow.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Merry Christmas. Mm. And so, or you can have the belief system that nothing, your blueprint is nothing ever works out.
Mm-hmm.
You get a belief system that, you know, there's never enough money for me to do what I need to do.
I used to operate when this was years ago, I really believed that you got discovered.
Right.
And if you just were good enough and did what you're supposed to do, somebody would, you know, they call it like a Boaz,
right,
which is in the Bible, he was the one that he saw. I guess it was Naomi, right?
That's right.
And she's working in the fields, and she's working really hard, and he is watching her from the window and going, she's a hard worker. Bring her to me. Yeah. Clean her up and bring her to me. You know?
Clean her up. She's a mess. We're in that field all day.
That's right.
She's a hard worker.
But
I like her.
I used to think that if you were just hard worker, you'd get discovered. And I don't know what that means in each, you know, professional arena.
Right.
You know, but.
And so, and now.
Now I don't have any.
You don't feel that way anymore.
No, I don't.
Because you haven't been discovered yet.
That's right.
But you kept that belief still. But see, here's the thing, though. If you really had that belief of being discovered, you would, at every moment, put your best face forward. You would never leave the house without makeup on and the nails done, because this may be the day I get discovered.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that's true, and I'm just throwing that out.
You're saying that because I don't wear makeup anymore.
I know. I'm just saying you do wear makeup, just not every day.
Wait, Julie, I can't go to the car wash I can't go to the shelf for the free car wash. I don't have my nails done, you know.
I may get discovered.
Oh, my God, I can just get discovered.
I'll be discovered, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, my God, I'm in the Walmart parking lot. And I just have this old stocking gap on.
I make it discovered.
Where are you discovered?
I'm laughing my butt off. Well, that's good.
Hmm.
Before we close, I just want to say a toot toot to my brother.
A toot toot?
A toot.
Is that what you said?
That's what I said.
Okay. Can I give him a shout out?
Yeah, that's because his company that he's been working for a long time just closed its doors.
Is that for sure?
Yeah, I think it's 100% sure.
Oh.
I'm not 100% sure.
Well, then D.B. Sweeney, give us a call because my son's a great-looking,
aspiring,
Tom Cruise-like actor.
And if you can't afford Tom Cruise, you can afford Greg Peter. So,
and also Matthew Modine.
But you know what? Mm-hmm. Exactly right. Mm-hmm. He has those two looks.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't think they would be the same person,
no,
but they are.
No, not really, yeah.
But anyway, I heard
so
and read
if you're
that
making a movie in Chicago and you want a good guy.
Give us a... Email us at Christine... Yeah, talk to us at ChristineMarieAndJulie.com.
Yes.
Drop us an email.
Talk to us at ChristineMarieAndJulie.com.
And buy our book, The Clutterfly Effect, Tweak Your Way to Total Transformation by Decluttering Your Life on Amazon.
How to not get discovered.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, everyone. It's been a great show. I hope you've enjoyed this fun time with us. We have... And we love you all, and just have a great, great day. And, Mom, how was the show?
I thought it was great. It was great. It was great.